The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Thus were the words of the Holy Gospel. Today's feast of Christ the King is only 90 years old. It was instituted by Pope Pius XI during the 1925 Jubilee at the request of bishops and faithful from around the globe. Why? There was a militant atheism spreading at that time that was trying to repress belief in Christ and suppress Christian witness in the world. 90 years later, this same beast is raising its head. But just 8 years prior to Quas Primas of Pius XI, Bolshevik communism had begun to show its evil head. The communists, who had doctorates in the art of lying, claimed to be working to free people from the opium of belief in God, which they said was only a means to keep others subjugated. Since there really was no God, they stated, the churches and Christians were just seeking greater foundation for their pursuit of political power. To counteract these lies and proclaim both the fact of Christ's kingship and the type of his kingdom, Pope Pius XI proclaimed this feast. The first thing the Holy Father stressed was that Christ had come to inaugurate not a political, but a spiritual kingdom. The Jews anticipated, we know, that when the Son of David came, he would rule in a way that his ancestor David had ruled. He would defeat all foreign powers and would be brutal to those who opposed him. After Jesus worked several of his stupendous miracles and the people were ready to put him on their shoulders and proclaim him king, he sped off to other towns until the people were able to receive him and his kingdom on his terms, not theirs. In today's gospel, we see the brutal contrast between the kingdom Christ came to found and the political kingdom so many of us political animals look for. The last thing Jesus looked like as he was hanging on the cross was a king. He was bathed in blood, not clothed in royal purple. He was hammered to a cross, not seated on a throne. He was crowned with thorns, not capped with gold and diadems. To ridicule him and Jews in general, Pilate had ordered that an inscription in three languages be placed upon his head. "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Rather than pay him homage, most in the crowds mocked him. The chief priests mocked him. The Roman soldiers and passers-by mocked him. Even the thief on his left mocked him. And all of them mocked him in the exact same way. "If you are truly the King of the Jews, the Messiah, the Christ, come down from that cross and save yourself and us." Such visible force, what we might call the Hulk Hogan solution, was the only demonstration of kingly power that they could comprehend. If Jesus didn't take off those nails and come and crush Roman centurions' helmets together, he wasn't the Messiah. For many of the Jews at the time, Jesus' crucifixion was the proof that he was precisely not the long-awaited Messiah king for whom they had been waiting for centuries. The Jews anticipated that the Messiah king would use his power to subjugate anyone so stupid to make themselves his adversaries, rather than take their abuse and die a horrible death to save the abusers. They were totally unprepared for a king who would serve at all, not to mention to serve to the point of death. The Romans were likewise unprepared for a king like Jesus. When Pontius Pilate interrogated Jesus, we heard today, asking him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "My kingship is not of this world. If it were of this world, my servants would be fighting that I not be handed over to the Jews, but as it is, my kingdom is not here." And when Pilate retorted, "So you are a king," Jesus replied by describing exactly what type of king he was and what kingdom he was establishing. Using a Hebrew and Latin idiom, he said, "You say that I'm a king. You're right, in other words, I am a king. But for this I was born. For this reason I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who hears the truth listens to my voice." The Romans thought that kingship meant having the power to crucify or to pardon. They thought it was associated with force. Jesus said it was associated with truth. Even the apostles, however, had a false idea of the kingdom and what it would mean to be in the king's service. We see throughout the gospel that they were competing against each other for the greatest cabinet secretariats in the messianic administration they anticipated Jesus was about to begin. After James and John got their mother, how pathetic is that? Got their mama to go up to Jesus to ask him to do whatever she asked and to grant that her baby boy sit on his immediate right and his left as he began his kingdom. Jesus used it as a lesson for all who are hungering after the same worldly power and authority. He said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great make their authority fell. It shall not be this way among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be the first among you shall be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is Jesus' kingdom. To enter into his kingdom with him, to be his right hand, to be his ministers, means to be willing to give our life as a ransom for God and others. To serve rather than to be served. To give rather than to get. To pray as we do tens of thousands of times every year. To pray, "Adveniat regnum tuum," "Thy kingdom come," is to beg for the grace to enter with Jesus into this true kingdom, which while it's in the world is not of the world. And it's precisely that grace that Christ came into the world to give us. As St. Paul reminds us today in the epistle, through Christ's incarnation, passion, death, and resurrection, God the Father delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. We enter his kingdom precisely through conversion. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is at hand." Finish the sentence. Repent and believe in the gospel. We enter his kingdom by ceasing to try to build up our own kingdom or serving other kings. We enter his kingdom by leaving all of those other small g gods behind to enter into Christ's reign and to reign with him, giving witness to the truth, even if we, like him, should have to die for it. The ancient Christians used to sing, "Regnavit Deus aligno," God reigns from the cross. To say, "Thy kingdom come," to seek to enter his kingdom, is to reign with him by living a cruciform life, a life of true sacrifice for God and for others. This is what we celebrate today. that the kingdom Christ came from heaven to earth to found, to invite us to enter, and to send us forth to proclaim is this kingdom of truth and love. The question for us, however, is do we really, 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 really want Christ's kingdom to come, no matter how many times we say it? Do we really want His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, especially if it causes us to change? We live in a day that, just like 2,000 years ago, has many false ideas about Jesus, many erroneous expectations about the kingdom He came to establish, the way He reigns and the way He calls us to reign with Him. We too are tempted to reject the truth of His kingdom, the service of His kingdom, the suffering of His kingdom. We need to confront this courageously head on. Because when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we need to know what we're asking for. We need to know that we're not going to receive in response to those prayers the kingdom of our false expectations. We're going to receive the real kingdom Jesus established. Let's focus a little on that spiritual kingdom that Jesus inaugurated, and ask if this is the kingdom deep down inside we most want. If that's the kingdom we've entered and are living in, if that's the kingdom we're going to all those we know to announce. In the Sermon on the Mount, Christ the King said that the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are poor in spirit. If we're living in His kingdom, we're poor in spirit. If we're not poor in spirit, we're not in His kingdom. Are our hearts set on spiritual poverty, or on houses, riches, cars, and mammon? Christ the King announced His kingdom is one of meekness, and that the children of the kingdom are those who inherit the earth and make peace. Are we real peacemakers or just peace wishers? Do we provoke and cheer division or even war? Christ the King says that those who enter His kingdom will be the ones who care for Him in every person they meet who is hungry, thirsty, naked, a stranger, ill, in prison, or otherwise in need. Are we living in that kingdom by living as good Samaritans? Or do we live like everybody else and pass by the needy on the other side of the road saying, "Somebody else's problem," or "just get a job, you loser"? Christ the King announced that His kingdom is one of mercy, and only the merciful will receive the mercy, the forgiveness necessary to enter His kingdom. Do we forgive everyone who has trespassed against us 70 times 7 times? Or do we nurse grudges and seek to settle scores, even to the grave? Christ the King says that to enter His kingdom, we need to be willing to be persecuted and hated because of Him. Do we seek human respect, popularity, or fame? Or are we willing to acknowledge Christ before others, even if we'll be mocked for it? Even if we'll be murdered for it? In short, Christ the King says that His kingdom is a kingdom of truth, and that everyone who is of the truth hears His voice and follows Him as a good sheep follows the good shepherd. To enter His kingdom means we must seek to live by the truth that sets us free and gives us entrance into relationship with Jesus. Is this really the way we're living? Christ has redeemed us and transferred us through baptism from the power of darkness into His kingdom. But entering the kingdom is not a one-time act. It's a continuous choice. As we've just been seeing for the last 3 weeks in Rome with the Synod on the Family, there are many Catholics, and including Catholic leaders, who just say, "Hey, living the gospel is hard, folks. Let's water it down." That is not coming from Jesus. Jesus says, "No, the road is narrow that leads to life. But you can guarantee I will be with you always, every step of the way, to help you live up with Me to that standard." That's Christ's kingdom. And it's a continuous choice. Today is another day for us to choose whether we really want His kingdom to come, or whether we want another kingdom of our own making or of our own imagination. Pope Pius XI said that he wanted to establish an annual liturgical feast to Christ the King, precisely so that every year we could come together and pray and gain much strength and courage to form our lives after the true Christian ideal. He said that if Christ is truly our King, and I'm quoting him, he must reign in our minds, which should assent with perfect submission and firm belief to revealed truth to the doctrines of Christ. He should reign in our wills, which should obey the laws and precepts of God. He must reign in our hearts, which should spurn natural desires and love God above all things and cleave to Him alone. He must reign in our bodies and in our members, which should serve as instruments for the interior sanctification of our souls, and to use the words of the Apostle Paul as weapons of righteousness. In short, we could say, for Christ to reign, Christ must be King of my time. Christ must be King of my love life, my family. Christ must be King of my wallet. Christ must be King of all and every part of my life. To pray Thy Kingdom come means that we want everyone to come to the joy of Christ's kingdom. And that means we're going to open ourselves up to receive God's graces so that we may courageously and lovingly announce that His kingdom has come and that it has set us free, so that in our own body language we might announce to all the beauty of that reign. Today Jesus asks us, just as personally as He asked Pontius Pilate, do you say that I am a king, or have others told you about me? Jesus wants each of us to hear that question and respond. It's not enough for Him to be the king of others, or for Him even to be the king of the universe. It's not enough that we join together in singing beautiful hymns written by others. It's not enough that we admire or dedicate churches to Him under this title. It's not enough, in other words, even that the whole church in heaven and on earth acclaims Him on this day as Savior, King, and Lord. Jesus wants to know if we're singing these hymns and reciting these psalms on our own, personally, intimately, with all our heart and strength, or whether we're just saying them because others have told us about the reality of His kingship. He died in order to become our King, your King, my King. And He wants to have that relationship with each of us. And that's the path to true happiness. Jesus wants each of us to say on our own, Jesus, Thy kingdom, not mine, come. Jesus, You are my Lord. And to seek to live in the truth He reveals, to live according to the standards of His reigning love. And to help to take that personal stand today, He comes to us even more humbly arrayed than when He appeared before Pontius Pilate, so that He can strengthen us by becoming our spiritual food. Think about that for a second. The King of Kings, the Lord of the entire universe, loves us so much that He's going to today become our food. United with Him as our King, and united through with and in Him with each other. Let us beg Him to strengthen us courageously to give witness to Him, to His truth and to His love in the midst of a world that continues to want Him out of the way and often outright rejects the reality and the nature of His kingdom. Today, we make our own the words of the Mexican martyrs as they prepared to die and witness to Christ's kingdom. We say with them, Viva Cristo Rey! Long live Christ the King! To Him be power and praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor, power and strength, forever and ever and ever. Long live Christ the King.